Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kruger, spicing you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. How is that for a little opening jingle as we try and test out the new soundboard, which is so fun to use, might add. I have an absolute blast using this. And, you know, I didn't really use it with our special guest we had. Make sure to check out that episode with Jimmy Aulis, which should be live right now. If you're listening to this, you should be able to go listen to that episode 118 of the Surprise Jab Podcast. Please go check that out. But yeah, on today's agenda, going to be dropping some predictions for UFC Vegas 97 going down this Saturday, headlined by Gilbert Burns and Sean Brady. It's actually an amazing Apex card. I know the UFC has put some pretty mid-Apex cards, but this one is pretty good, if you ask me. Also on the agenda, going to be dropping our week one NFL predictions as that's coming out. Going to be looking at fantasy football draft. I did one of my five. I mean, holy cow, we have so many top 10 new things in pop culture. And as always, we got to get things kicked off with a little new UFC news. So we have had some very exciting fights take place, I should say, be announced, not take place, that Dana White has been able to grace us with, and one of which is pretty bigger than the others. If you guys want to guess what it is, it would be the flyweight matchup between Amir Elbazi and Brandon Moreno, which is the new main event for UFC Edmonton. In the men's flyweight division, Brandon Moreno, the number two flyweight in the world. His opponent, Amir Elbazi, the number three flyweight in the world. This fight's going to be jam-packed. Amir Elbazi is 17-1. 5-0 in the UFC. His win over Kai Kara-France has him lined up for a title shot if he beats Brandon Moreno here. Brandon Moreno, unfortunately, a little two-fight losing streak, losses to Brandon Royval and to Alexander Pantoja, which is kind of unfortunate, being that the fact that he's beaten Brandon Royval before, had to fight him on short notice. That was a whole scenario, but this fight is finally taking place, and I think the UFC kind of looked and was like, yeah, I don't think that Macy Barber versus Rose Namajunas is the right main event after. Actually, it was Aaron Blanchfield versus Rose Namajunas, so thankfully they made the switch. We're getting this, and it's essentially a number one contenders fight, so if you will just give ourselves a little round of applause to Dana White here. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, soundboard, for that. I will learn how to properly use that. I promise you guys this. We're in season three now of the Surprise Jab Podcast. I considered my podcast interview, my episode with Jimmy, my introduction into season three. You know, we are continuously upgrading the podcast, and it's about time we enter into a new era. So some other fun fights that Dana White has announced for us. Here's one coming at you. UFC Vegas 99 going down October 19th at the Apex, of course. Brady Highstand, 8-2 professionally, will be taking on Jake White Kong Hadley, who is 11-3. Most recently, Jake Hadley won a short notice fight against Calvin Lorraine. As for Brady Highstand, he picked up a big win over Garrett Armfield, I believe it was, from Garcia Bartogaldane. He's fought a number of people. Brady Highstand, the runner-up on The Ultimate Fighter, I believe it was three seasons ago. Gosh, maybe four even. I don't even know where we're at, but that should be a fun matchup. Excited for that one. Another one. Here you go. UFC 308, Shara the Bullet Magomedov is back. Shara Bullet is back in action. 14-0, the Russian fighter, 3-0 in the UFC. Big win most recently over Michael Okojacek, one fight of the night. Love to see that. He takes on Armin Petrosian, fellow striker, fellow kickboxer, 3-2 in the UFC, 9-3 professionally. Wins over Christian Leroy Duncan, Gregor Rodriguez, AJ Dobson. Biggest wins of his career, but that should be a fun matchup. Excited for that one, and that might actually be on the main card of UFC 308. They have not shied from putting Shara Magomedov on the main card. Let's get it. Another one coming at you for UFC 308. We have a battle of two amazing fighters here in the men's bantamweight division. Fareed Bashrat, 12-0 professionally, 3-0 in the UFC, will be taking on the 25-4. Won his UFC debut against Pedro Falco, Victor Hugo. Victor Stryker Hugo. I mean, a battle here. Fareed Bashrat, more known for his grappling, I would say Victor Hugo. I mean, his middle name, Stryker, I don't need to tell you what he's good at. That should be a firefight on the prelims there. Another bantamweight matchup coming at you. This one for UFC 309, of course, Madison Square Garden card. You got Jonathan Martinez, currently ranked number 13th. He's taking on the 9-1, 3-0 in the UFC, Marcus McGee. Marcus McGee has taken the UFC by storm. I mean, winning short notice fights and beating JP Baez, Gaston Bolanos, and Jurnee Newsom. All of them performance of the night, they're kind of like, okay, maybe we're giving him too lower of level of competition. So, you know what we're going to do, Marcus McGee? We're going to give you a ranked opponent in Jonathan Martinez, who is on a little fight skid here. I believe it's a two-fight losing streak. So hopefully Jonathan Martinez can turn that around. Another matchup, this one on short notice. Unfortunately, Nicholas Mota is out of his fight against Ludwig Klein, and in steps Roosevelt Roberts. So Roosevelt Roberts is 12-4 professionally, 4-4 in the UFC. You know, has not had much success in the UFC. Now, as for Ludwig Klein, 22-4 professionally, 6-2 in the UFC, all wins by finish. Wins over Ignacio Bahomedes, Mason Jones, Thiago Moises. This guy is a dog. This should be a fun fight. I am more than amped for this one. Here's another one for you. This one, I'm sure the fans are going to be very happy to hear. UFC Noche. That's right, we're getting a UFC 306 short notice fight, as it's reported that Kevin Borjas is out of his matchup against Joshua Van, Edgar Chiraz. In steps Joshua Van. That's right, Joshua Van is back in action after unfortunately losing to Charles Johnson. Just got shockingly knocked down in round three. He's back. He takes on Edgar Chiraz, who is 11-5 professionally. This should be a killer fight. I'm so happy Joshua Van gets a fight in this fight. He's such a good guy. I love him so much. We actually have another short notice fight we're going to be talking about on here. Other than that, you know, a couple women's fights here and there. Nothing too crazy, but Dana White been dropping the bombshells left and right. We're always excited to hear new fights coming at you. So that's all your new UFC news. As always, fighters are calling out other fighters, claiming they never lost, claiming this, claiming that. We're just here to report what Dana White has announced and other MMA outlets. I mean, it's not always Dana White breaking the news, but he broke Amir Albazi versus Brandon Moreno, which is easily the best fight of all. Yeah. All right, you know what? We're actually going to talk about my fantasy draft right now, because I've elected to talk about this. You know, I'm trying to build up with the episodes. You know how my structure is. So I did an 8-man fantasy football draft. It's me, my parents, 3 of my cousins, my uncles, and I think actually my mom and my aunt are on a team. So there's eight teams in total. So here's my 8-man team. I drafted from the number 2 position. You guys should let me know your thoughts on my team. So first off, starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you why. It's because he has got he's just talented. He's got the number 1 wide receiver in the league, CeeDee Lamb. He was the number 3 fantasy QB last year, and I waited, I think, until the 4th or 5th to last round to snag a QB, and he was still there, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go with him. It was either him or Brock Purdy, and I was like, you know what? Dak Prescott, fantasy beast, gotta have him. Starting running back, Isaiah Pacheco, okay? You know, I waited a bit. I went for wide receivers before I went for running backs. And with Isaiah Pacheco, I had him last year. I like him personally as a human being. You know, I think he's like the first Native American NFL player or something like that. I don't know if that's actually true, but you know what? I love his style. I love his energy. And he's proven that he's the Chiefs' top running back. You know, when Patrick Mahomes doesn't want to throw, Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield. Also got Rashad White, number 4 fantasy running back last year, and the Buccaneers, they haven't changed at all. You know, history speaking, Rashad White should have another breakout season. We'll have to see. Starting wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, he's my number 2 pick. I mean, I've never had CeeDee Lamb on a fantasy football team this year. I was like, you know what? This is my year. I don't have Christian McCaffrey in a single league. I missed out every chance I had to get CeeDee Lamb here. Other wide receiver, Puka Nacua, I didn't have him in any other leagues. I'm like, you know what? He's on the draft board. He was a stud last year. Let's go for Puka Nacua. See if he can repeat in his sophomore season. Tight end, I grab Sam Laporta. I love Sam Laporta so much. Don't have him in any of my other leagues. This is the family league, all right? To get family supremacy, I got to have me a little Sam Laporta. So, Sammy boy, welcome to my team. I got him off waivers last year. My flex currently, Rashee Rice. It's either going to be him or Brandon Ayuk. I fluctuate. I like Rashee Rice. I like Brandon Ayuk. They're both guys on their team where when they're the top guy, they put up huge fantasy numbers. When someone else on their team is hot, they're very mediocre. So we'll have to see what happens this season. But we got Brandon Ayuk. We got Rashee Rice. I like both of them. Defense, we got the Browns. You know, Browns are projected to have the number 1 defense this year, so that's a pretty bold statement. They're a top 5 defense from last year. I'm trying to remember where they exactly placed. They were the number 3 defense last year, yeah. And our kicker, Cairo Santos, he was actually tied, I believe, with the number 2 kicker spot with Jake Elliott last year. Bears kicker, Bears offense has upgraded tremendously, so I'm excited to see both of these guys. Moving to the bench, as we already know, Brandon Ayuk, a couple backup running backs I have. DeAndre Swift off my bench. Zamir White. Austin Eckler. Absolute studs. The wide receivers besides Ayuk, we got Keon Coleman. I just loved him at Florida State. I'm hoping he can transcend to the NFL. And I mean, he's got Josh Allen throwing to him. I would expect nothing less. And then also, I grabbed Mike Williams. You know, Mike Williams is so good. He was so good with the Chargers, and it's yet to be seen if he will repeat that with the Jets, but I'm going to ride that he does. So that's a team. He also got TJ Hawkinson in my IR position. I mean, TJ Hawkinson is healthy. I mean, dude is a top three tight end in the league. So this is a fun little league. I'm excited to see how all these players perform this year, but we'll save a lot more NFL talk for in just a bit when we drop our week one NFL prediction. So, you know, we usually do this before our UFC picks, but since we got to talk about NFL, we're going to do it here, and we got our top 10 new items in pop culture. That is right. Every single week, we look at top 10 new things in pop culture from none other than discussing films. So let's check it out. Number one, first off, Joker 2 has debuted with a 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. Very interesting. I have no real interest in seeing Joker 2. I'm yet to see the first Joker. You know, Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga, they're both talented. But I mean, just no interest in this. No interest. And personally, I just don't think the marketing has been as good as the first one. We'll have to see. Number two, Michael Keaton has recently revealed his name is actually Michael Douglas, and he wants to change his professional acting name to Michael Keaton Douglas. He couldn't pick Michael Douglas when he started acting, as the SAG doesn't allow members to use the same name. Of course, if no one knows Michael Douglas, legendary actor, you may know him in Ant-Man. It's pretty interesting to hear that Michael Keaton, that's not his actual name. His actual name is Michael Douglas, which is just weird after all this time. And that's what Hollywood does to you guys. Be careful. Be aware of the derangedness of Hollywood. I try and stick away. Number three, Matt Reeves gives the first details on the Batman 2. He said it's going to dig into the epic story about deeper corruption, and it goes into places he couldn't even anticipate in the first one. Well, good thing all the hype has died after five freaking years when this movie finally comes out. They aren't even filming until next year. A movie like this, it looks like it's going to take a year to film. It's getting pretty ridiculous. So that's unfortunate to see, but it's good to hear that they're trying to build up something big. You know, we always love that. Number four, gosh, a lot of Joker 2 news, if I'm being honest. Here we go. George R.R. Martin says one of his biggest issues with House of the Dragon Season 2 is removing Aegon and Helena's second son, Maelor, and the butterfly effect that causes. There are larger and more toxic butterflies to come if House of the Dragon goes ahead, with some of the changes being contemplated for Season 3 and 4. Well, let me just tell you something, George. By the way, love you, George R. R. Martin, if you ever hear this. You are an amazing writer. You know, your world of Game of Thrones you've created is absolutely stupendous. How about you stop complaining about your fucking show and you write the sixth book, all right? Pardon my language. I should not be cussing, you know. That's not a good Christian boy of me. But I mean, come on, George. Come on. I could care less your thoughts on this show. You're one of the executive producers. You literally have rights to the show. You make money off of it. And you won't write your sixth book. And it's just annoying me, George. George, I'm hoping he doesn't die before he finally finishes this, but pretty interesting that the show is messing up, you know, the lore, because I've actually read the lore of Game of Thrones, and Maelor is actually one of the fellow kings, and they've removed him from history, so that is a bit of a, you know, kind of like head-scratcher, but at the same time, it's not a big enough deal for me to care. That's all. That's my opinion on it. Number five, Tom Hardy and Aaron Taylor Johnson will star in Cary Fukunaga's crime thriller Blood on Snow. The film follows a hitman on the run in the middle of a gang war after failing to do a job. I mean, come on. Tom Hardy, Aaron Taylor Johnson, sign me up. Sign me up. I watched The Bike Riders. One of the best parts of The Bike Riders movie was Tom Hardy. And Aaron Taylor Johnson, I mean, in Godzilla, his short time in the MCU for one film, his Bullet Train. I mean, Aaron Taylor Johnson is a phenomenal actor. He's the only reason I might go see Craven whenever that comes out. I'm excited for that movie whenever it does end up taking place. I don't know who the actor is, though, if I'm being honest, so that's a little perplexing. Ba-ba-ba-bum. The first trailer for Ryan Murphy's Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Melendez story, has been released. I will have to watch this. This is shot through the same style as they shot Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. And if it's as good as Jeffrey Dahmer, count me in. Count me absolutely in. I'm so here for it. We love that show. As dark and twisted as it was, it is really fascinating to look into the minds of killers and see how they tick. Number seven, the first look at the Wolves, Llamas, Zombie, Piglin, Gas, and Sheep in the live-action Minecraft movie have been released, as we recently saw the trailer for it. First off, I don't even know how you make a Minecraft movie. You know, if it was me, you know, they made a Minecraft movie, I'd have thought they just dropped some guy in the wild and he has to survive. But no, this is like a blend of the pixelated blockiness of it and actual humans. It looks like a mess. It has Jack Black in it. I personally don't care for Jack Black. He has said some very weird satanic stuff before. So I'm a pass on seeing that movie, but I, you know, that's all the more I can really touch. That's just my personal preference. Number 8. Ewan McGregor and Matthew McConaughey are being eyed to star as Hal Jordan in Lanterns if Josh Brolin declines. Hal Jordan, I think one of the main people in the Green Lantern universe, but going with Ewan McGregor and Matthew McConaughey, this is a big role. And you know, if Josh Brolin isn't down for it, I will happily take the other two. Very exciting stuff. Number nine, the Lego Bumblebee action figure is now available to buy, in case anyone was wondering, like, hey, I kind of want to buy a Lego Bumblebee. It's now available for you. I just had to mention that. That was so funny. And number 10, the final thing. Details on Noah Hawley's series Alien Earth have been released. It follows a group who make a fateful discovery when exploring a crashed space vessel. It is set 30 years before the first Alien film. It stars Sydney Chandler, Timothy Oliphant, and Alex Lawther, and it releases on Hulu in 2025. Wow, imagine if you'd have told, Ripley Scott, that's the director, right? Ripley Scott or Scott Ripley, whatever his name is. If you'd have told him with the first movie that, you know, we'd be in the year 2025 releasing more Alien films, he'd have never believed you. And it's crazy enough is that I think he saw Star Wars and he completely changed his entire premise for the first Alien film with how good it was. So that's always just curious. I always find that fascinating to hear. When directors have to change their entire prowess when they're thinking about that stuff. So kind of get me all jumbled up on words here, but amazing stuff in the pop culture universe. We are always here for it. I always like hearing this new news. I'm happy I invented this segment. And also tell you what else makes me happy, and that is a little NFL Sunday football. So we are going to be dropping our week one predictions right now. 16 games, 16 predictions. This should be a fun one. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the 2024 season of the NFL, and we have a bunch of brand new games to go over. Will the Chiefs retain their Super Bowl crown, or will we get a new victor today? As always, I predict that the Vikings are winning the Super Bowl. I'll be honest, as delusional as I am, as much as people would be like, oh, make a realistic prediction, I would much rather ride with my home team and be delusional and just be like, oh, I think the Chiefs are going to repeat. Nah, that's lame. I ride with the Timberwolves, I ride with the Vikings. That's just how I roll, so we're kicking off the season with the defending Super Bowl champions, the Chiefs. They take on the Ravens in Kansas City, and this should be an absolutely fantastic game. I'm more than pumped for this. You got the debut of Derrick Henry. I don't know if Marquise Brown is going to be playing for the Chiefs. We'll have to see. But Travis Kelce returning, over a decade in the league. Patrick Mahomes, his reign of terror continues. And the Chiefs, they just look more dominant than ever. I'm excited to see a little Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice. I mentioned I have them in fantasy. And for the Ravens, you know, it's another year where Lamar Jackson has to prove to people he is as good as they say he is. Because, you know, Lamar Jackson is honestly turning into a Charles Barkley, Reggie Miller, legendary, actually not even, not even. Who is Lamar Jackson turning into? He's a guy who wins the MVP. He's a guy who wins every single award, sets every record, except wins a playoff game. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know if he's made it to the AFC Championship game. I don't think he has. But there's just some with opening games, with the Ravens, with the Chiefs. And I always feel like this is just a recurring thing I always see, that the Chiefs are always at home. And whether the Ravens are on the road or at home, I just always feel that the Ravens win their opening game and the Chiefs lose their opening game. So my prediction is merely the Ravens, based off the fact that from just everything I can remember, the Ravens just always seem to win. The Ravens just, I just dropped a sheet of paper, not to interrupt myself, but I have no idea what it says. What does it say right here? Oh, it says, and I quote, that the Ravens are going to be making it to the Super Bowl this year against the Minnesota Vikings. Weird. I don't even remember writing that, but I guess it's right there. Super Bowl prediction. So, yeah, we're riding with the Ravens. Wyden, we're riding with the Ravens. And will I be picking against the Chiefs every single game this year? Probably not, but I'm turning into a professional Chiefs hater, so Ravens over Chiefs should be a close game. every opening game usually is. I just want some excitement. I want to get the NFL season kicked off with a bang. After that, guys, we head to Friday's game between the Packers and the Eagles. That is right. My actual nemesis, the Packers and the Eagles, so I'm kind of torn on. Of course, this game is taking place in Brazil, which is very weird, so no idea what to expect there. You know, but I just, with the Packers, I know I'll pick them at some point this year, but as for now, I just can't pick the Packers. As a Vikings fan, it is just not in me to pick the Packers to win. So we're going with the Eagles. Plus, I got Devontae Smith. Plus, I got Saquon Barkley. Plus, I got Jalen Hurts. I actually have Jordan Love on my bench in our 16-man league, so the one Packers fan in the league can't use him. I hate the Packers, you know, and obviously I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a great year. I think the Packers have the deepest receiving core. I mean, they have such a deep receiver core that you can't even handpick which one's the best one. They all just serve their purposes so well. So, you know, kudos to the Packers. They're a great team. They should be good this year, but we're riding with the Eagles all day. Fly, Eagles, fly. Even if they always beat the Vikings. And then finally, we arrive, guys, on Sunday for a little Sunday football. Probably be busy, come back from Lexi's house. But you know what? It's okay, because we're going to have plenty of more NFL Sundays until the freaking end of February. So we kick things off. AFC, oh gosh, testing my memory right now. The AFC East, gosh, Zachary. As the Carolina Panthers will travel to New Orleans, and here we are, the Panthers return season. You know, the Panthers, this is now two straight seasons. They've been really bad, exceptionally bad, like point blank bad, and they're back this year, literally lost the number one pick, and Caleb Williams is not with the Bears because of that, but Bryce Young, sophomore season. He's got Deontay Johnson. He's got Xavier Leggett. I don't think Jonathan Brooks is playing. You know, Adam Thielen's the veteran on the team. I think Xavier Leggett's going to be a lot better. You know, he's an absolute dog at South Carolina. Deontay Johnson isn't an upgrade from Kenny Pickett to Bryce Young. It's yet to be seen. We'll have to see. I'm curious to see how the Panthers perform this year. As for the Saints, you know, when it comes to the Saints, Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, all the tools are there. All the tools are there. They're just, they strike me as an 8-9 team. A 9-8 team, 7-10, 10-7 team that misses the playoffs every year. That's just what the Saints strike me as. And, you know, I'm going to go risky here. And my picks on the podcast may be different from my picks that I actually make on ESPN, just to let anyone know who actually sees that. So, why am I doing it different? I don't know, but I am going to be writing down in my book my predictions. You know, I do it with my UFC picks. There's got to be a better way to do that. But that's just how I do it. So, we are actually going to shockingly pick the Panthers, and I think they come out just, you know, sort of like when the Jaguars had Gardner Minshew, and they came out and they won their first game shockingly, and they're like, we're not done. We know one win. We're not satisfied. I kind of get that with the Panthers. They're going to come out. They're going to get a big win to kick off the season, and it's not going to amount to anything. So that's where my stance stands on this. My stance stands. How about that? After that, we keep our noon games rolling as the Minnesota Vikings, my favorite team in the NFL, will be traveling to New York to take on the Giants. And I, of course, have to pick the Vikings every single game. It's just what I do, and I know what most people will call me dumb, but I just have to pick them. You know, I'm not going to watch a Vikings game and think they're not going to win. Like, there's nothing fun in that. There's nothing fun in watching your team and thinking they're going to lose. Like, why would I pick against the Vikings? Maybe we'll try and do some reverse psychology sometimes where it's like, hey, you know, we're going to pick them against them even when we want them to win. So it's like a win-win situation. Nah, I like to not only pick them, but get it right. We're going to be getting a little Sam Darnold action. Who knows? Maybe Nick Mullins will step in. I think we got Ripien now on the team. I don't even freaking know. But Sam Darnold leading the way. Justin Jefferson, still arguably one of the best wide receivers. Him and CeeDee Lamb probably. If they both had an excellent QB, like if Dak Prescott had Justin Jefferson, or if Justin Jefferson had Dak Prescott, he's a completely different season player. Aaron Jones will be interested to see him. Hawkinson will be out for a bit. We've, of course, got the nasty Jordan Addison. But, you know, there's no expectations for the Vikings, so if there's nowhere to go but up, up is where we'll go. And as for the Giants, they got Daniel Jones, they got Malik Nabers, they got Devin Singletary, they got freaking no one. They got freaking no one. So I'm actually pretty confident in the Vikings' chances. At the same time, the Giants seem to have been our kryptonite the last few years. Moving along, Patriots visit the Bengals. Here's a fun stat for you I saw on Bing at Microsoft. I don't actually know if it's true because Bing is always outdated, but for a fact, this was true in 2023, that starting QBs over the past five seasons had been 0-7-1 rookie QBs in their starting debut with a team, like the season opener. The last QB to get a win was actually Sam Darnold. Fun fact for you. So, you know, as fascinating as that is, I look at Drake May, who is in a completely different system. Like, Bill Belichick has just left the Patriots, and it is just a completely different team than when he left. So, there's really nothing to look forward to if you're a Patriots fan. You got Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson now. But wide receiver-wise, it is bleak. It is dull. And I honestly don't recall a single player from the Patriots team besides Ramondre Stevenson going in fantasy football, just to let you know. So there's that. As for the Bengals, I mean, just always a team where you expect greatness. After they made the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow, you know, we got bleach hair Joe Burrow, okay? You got T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, two guys. Like, those are two disgustingly good wide receivers. Like, just so good. Fantasy monsters. It all comes down to if they're catching the ball and what they're able to do with it. No more Joe Mixon. They do have Zach Moss, so that is a downgrade in the running back department. But I do sense good things from the Bengals. So we are going to pick the Bengals this year. I think Joe Burrow comes out, lights a fire. Plus, we can't pick all the underdogs the whole week. We just can't do that. We have to spice it up here and there. And then we go to the Steelers and Falcons. I'm so excited that this game is taking place due to the fact that my friend Seth is actually a huge Steelers fan, and he has Kenny Pickett. No, he doesn't have Kenny Pickett anymore. Kenny Pickett's the backup for Jalen Hurts. He has Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as his two quarterbacks, which is absolutely hilarious. It's so comical. Actually, it's a little laughter track right here for that. Just absolutely comical, the fact, the state of the Steelers right now. And, you know, Jalen Warren, Najee Harris, two amazing running backs when they're on their game. But when they're splitting touches, you know, there's not much fantasy appeal there. Pat Freiermuth, top tight end in the league, I'd say. Maybe borderline top 10, more of a top 15. But wide receiver core, George Pickens. That's all that comes to mind, George Pickens. And the Falcons, this is apparently the Falcons here. Falcons are apparently going to the Super Bowl. You got Kirk Cousins. Yeah, you be John Robinson. You got Drake London. Michael Penix Jr. is the backup. We're riding with the Falcons. We're riding with the Falcons here. It is Falcons to the Super Bowl. And I'll ride the hype until I don't. But usually when teams are overhyped like the Falcons, sometimes they appear to stutter. And hey, I'm not a hater. Don't think I'm a hater. I just like to point out the different sides of things. So best of luck to the Steelers, but we're riding with the Atlanta Falcons, a completely different Atlanta Falcons team. Texans and Colts graces our presence at the noon o'clock spot as well. When it comes to the Texans and the Colts, I mean, Texans have all the momentum in the world. They're another team. You know, it's Texans and Falcons are two teams that are completely brand new this year in terms of hype, in terms of expectations. And CJ Stroud went from rookie of the year candidate to now being the top freaking guy. Right, he actually might have won Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. I honestly can't remember too well. But, you know, you got Stephon Diggs now, you got Joe Mixon, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, all coming back. Texans are fantasy football monsters on the stat sheet. And the Colts, I mean, Anthony Richardson is projected to be the next Lamar Jackson, just to let you know. Jonathan Taylor flying off the board is like the number five running back in the league. People are still holding on to his glory days of that legendary season 3 years ago. And, you know, Michael Pittman, amazing. Amazing out there. You got some other good wide receivers. This is going to be a close competitive game. I'm very torn on who to choose. We are going to ride with the Texans. If we'll ride with the hype until it's done. And I always try and mix it up with like 8-8 or, you know, as close as I can to home teams and away teams winning. So that's why we kind of keep it like that. After that, we move on to we still have three more noon games. So many noon games. I'm going to be overwhelmed. Cardinals visiting the Bills. And let me just say this right now. This is the game where the Cardinals win. This is such a game where the Cardinals win. The Bills team almost imploded. It almost imploded. It's a completely different team. Josh Allen still one of the best, if not the best QB in the league. I mean, Keon Coleman's now his wide receiver one, to let you know. In fact, Dalton Kincaid, your starting tight end, probably your wide receiver one. Okay, James Cook, I'm hoping he doesn't follow Dalvin's track and kind of deprogresses. That is yet to be seen. There's also a couple of other signings. Curtis Samuel. So Bills are a completely different team. We'll have to see how they adapt to that. But the good news, the Cardinals have Kyler Murray come back after a year away from football. They have Marvin Harrison Jr., who is flying off the board super early as wide receiver. I mean, this rookie has so much hype due to how good Marvin Harrison was. So, you know, this is going to be a close competitive matchup. I'm trying to decide right now if we're going to get a little road stealing win. I always try and match it up, but I actually do think the Bills win this one. I do think the Bills win this one. I just think a year away from football, rookies left, right, and center, that the Bills are going to be able to capitalize on this and get a win here. Interesting matchup here. I know a lot of people got their eyes on this. As the number one pick in the NFL, one of them supposed to be the next big thing, Caleb Williams takes on the Tennessee Titans, and they gave him home field advantage. All right, they gave Caleb Williams home field advantage, but he's taking on Will Levis. All right, this Will Levis now has Calvin Ridley. Already had DeAndre Hopkins. Backfield of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears is a really good backfield, if you ask me. I'm excited to see this Titans team and the Bears. They're almost too loaded. I mean, they almost gave Caleb Williams too many tools. Romo Dunze. All right. DJ Moore. All right. Keenan Allen. I'll even throw a little Cole Kmet at you. This is a star-studded matchup. But, like I said, rookie QBs never win. So we are going to ride with that statistic. I am going to predict the Titans to win. And a part of this is also the Bears are one of our rivals, so there's that. But hey, Caleb Williams, go prove me wrong. On paper, the Bears should be good. And honestly, DeAndre Swift, I do not be surprised DeAndre Swift has an amazing comeback here. Hey, he's on my 8-man fantasy team. Maybe on the bench. You can earn a flex spot next week. Final noon game, thank goodness. We got the Jaguars visiting the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are just going to be a team all season long where we're picking them. Easily picking the Dolphins. I mean, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Jalen Waddle, you got Devin Achane, you got Raheem Mostert, Tua Tagovailoa. This offense is loaded. The defense, you got a little Jalen Ramsey here and there. You got a great defense all around. So this Dolphins team is super fun. On the other side, the Jaguars just strike me as mediocre team. They just strike me as mediocre. I think Travis Etienne's going to have another great year. I think Trevor Lawrence should be upgraded from last year. But the guy from Clemson is just not the same guy in the NFL, and it's tough to make that switch. And Trevor Lawrence can hang with the big boys, but can he overcome the big boys? I don't know. The Dolphins are just monsters, and I think they are going to drown the Jaguars. How about that? A little bit of a, what do you want, pun, if you want to call it that? What does here do? How about a little giggle for you? Yeah, we like women make puns. Actually, I'm going to start using that more often. So we now move into our 3 o'clock, 3:30, 3:05, whatever you want to call it, games. 3:05 and 3:25, I think, is actually correct. And first off, Broncos Seahawks. Here we go. A little interesting one for you. Bo Nix leading this Broncos team. Return of Javonte Williams. I just saw Pat Curtin, or Certain, whatever his name is, just got paid a whole lot of money, okay? And, you know, Cortland Sutton, he's still hanging around there. No more Jerry Jeudy. Broncos team in a rebuild, currently in a rebuild right now. Seahawks, they're set in motion. Geno Smith knows what to do. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett are proven wide receiver ones when needed to be wide receiver one and two. And I got Jackson Smith and Jigba. He wants to be wide receiver number one. Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, set just a beautiful, beautiful team overall. The Seahawks have all the tools to make a run for the playoffs. We'll have to see if they can bring it together, but I don't expect much out of the Broncos. If I'm not predicting the Bears to beat the Titans, you bet your butt I'm not predicting the Broncos to beat the Seahawks. Plus, I mean, Bo Nix, your debut is in Seattle, one of the toughest, if not the toughest stadium to play at. Yikes, they're giving the Oregon kid a tough start. Another one for you, 3:05. Raiders visit the Chargers. Here we go. This is fun. This one is fun right here, okay? So as of right now, Packers and Eagles is kind of a neutral game, if you ask me. But other than that, we got 5 home teams winning, and we got 4 away teams winning. And when we come to the Raiders and the Chargers, this Raiders team ended the year better than it started, okay? Devontae Adams started to form a connection with Aiden O'Connell, all right? You now got Gardner Minshew out there. No more Josh Jacobs. You actually have Zamir White and Alexander Mattison. All right, you got Jacoby Myers as well. This is an interesting Raiders team. I think it all comes down to the fact that the head coach, can't recall his name, he's back. And his mentality is what really switched around. His energy is what really turned around the Raiders program. Now, on the Chargers side of things, talk about zero expectations. Talk about, all right, Keenan Allen's gone. Mike Williams is gone. Austin Eckler's gone. Here are your two wide receivers, Quentin Johnson, Joshua Palmer. Oh, we also got Jalad McConkey, the running backs, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. Just stole the Ravens locker room. So there are no expectations for the Chargers. Chargers are honestly in Vikings land. Except, honestly, if the Vikings had Justin Herbert, we'd be a Super Bowl contender. I'll say that right now. And there's just something about this Raiders team where I think the Raiders are going to be better on the road than they are at home in Las Vegas this year. So I'm going to go with the Raiders, stealing one on the road against the Chargers, bringing some momentum to kick off the year. I think it's going to take a bit of time for the Chargers to get things rolling. But, I mean, Devontae Adams, do not sleep on him. Gardner Minshew will find this man, and he will be a fantasy monster all year long. Two more 3 o'clock matchups for you, 3:30. Apologies. Cowboys visiting the Browns. I mean, come on, defensive battle through and through. I'm absolutely here for it. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. You know, I got Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook, which is so funny, because if you'd have told me freaking 3-5 years ago that Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott were your two starting running backs for fantasy team, I'd been like, dude, you're winning the whole league. Now if you told me that, I'd go, what are you freaking thinking, buddy? I mean, their downfall has been pretty swift, unfortunately. You know, I hate to see that they've had a downfall, but that's the case. But this Cowboys team, this defense, is just absolutely amazing. People keep saying they're going to have a step back. I personally don't think so. And as for the Browns, just another team. And I got Jerry Jeudy on the team. Already had Amari Cooper. Already had David Njoku. They know what they are, okay? Jerome Ford stepping up when Nick Chubb's out. If Nick Chubb's in, this team is so dangerous. But Cowboys are going to be a team we're riding with all season. They're a great season team. Plus, I got CeeDee Lamb, and I got Dak Prescott. So, yeah, there's no way that I'm betting against the Cowboys here. But I do love a little Browns defense. So, if this is a defensive battle, I just realized week one's going to suck. I have the Browns defense, Dak Prescott, and CeeDee Lamb. Well, that's an error on my part. It happens here and there. I'm in 5 fantasy football leagues. I'm not going to try and trip when I lose a game here or two. Which brings us to our final 3 o'clock game, Commanders visiting the Buccaneers. And this has just been a recurring sentiment. Jaden Daniels, LSU boy, I guarantee he's going to be good. You know, you got Austin Ekeler out there. You got Scary Terry. He's a rookie. All right, he's a rookie. And as we've seen, rookie QBs don't win a whole lot. So he's taking on a team in the Buccaneers, proven. I mean, Baker Mayfield now has formed a connection with Chris Godwin, formed a connection with Mike Evans. Rashid White's turning back to his old ways of just kicking butt over his first 2 or 3 years in the league, however you want to phrase it. Buccaneers are winning this one, all right? I'm fairly confident. I'm fairly confident in this team this year to win their division. Win their division. I mean, the Saints, similar team as well. Similar team as well. Might have drafted a few people, very similar. Panthers, semi-different, but not too much improvisation. Falcons, going to be your biggest opposition. And with the Falcons, they're brand new. So if you're the Buccaneers, you capitalize on having a set game plan in place, having that chemistry in place against the Falcons team who has way too high of expectations. So Buccaneers over Commanders. The Commanders just strike me as another team that's just not going to do well this year. Following that, we get into a beautiful Sunday night football game. This is going to carry me into Monday, carry me into my third week of school, and it's the Rams taking on the Lions. They saw that in the playoffs, and they're like, oh, you know what? We are going to give you that to kick off the season on a little Sunday night football. So this is what you're going to be hearing from the crowd. Okay, yell I thought was going to be cheering. Oh, well, actually, let me give you a little cheer right now. Isn't there a cheer? I guess not. I didn't know we'll learn the soundboard, as I mentioned. But when it comes to the Rams, when it comes to the Lions, I am predicting the Lions. I am predicting the Lions. You're going to go, oh, Zach, you know, you picked against the Bears. You picked against the Packers. Why are you picking the Lions? I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know some people hate Amon-Ra St. Brown. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown, okay? I truly enjoy him. Super talented. I have him in fantasy football on some of my teams. He's just such a talented guy. And this Lions team, you just want to cheer for him. Okay, and as a Vikings team who nothing is expected of us this year, I kind of want to cheer for the Lions. I honestly do, except when we play them, I'll cheer for the Vikings. But I mean, you know, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, the whole team is completely the same almost, and I just feel like they're going to be really good. And as for the Rams, I think just, you know, the issue that just a changing of the guard. Matthew Stafford's getting older. Your new backup, oh my gosh, is Jimmy Garoppolo. So an old QB room. And Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, I think some egos are going to clash there. Throwing a little DeMarcus Robinson, a little Tyler Higbee. No one really knows if Kyron Williams is going to be the long-term running back, if they're going to try and mix in a little Blake Corum. I just, you know, I think the Lions are a better team, and they came out last season and won the home opener. You know, I think in this position, they're going to get it done too. Which brings me to my final matchup for the week one NFL predictions. Oh, I forgot to add for the Chiefs game that my buddy Ryan, watch it, have on sometime, my roommate, he said that Rashee Rice is going for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, which I would not complain about that whatsoever. I forgot I had to mention that. Oh, and Cole Walker says the Vikings are going to win against the Giants, so I kind of agree with both of them. We get into our little Monday Night Football action. You know, I've toughed it out through the day, Monday blues, and I'm greeted with the Jets visiting the 49ers. And guys, there's just something about the New York Jets. I did that, especially on Monday Night Football. They did it last year. The Bills were supposed to beat them, then just out of nowhere rally, win the game on a punt return. So I think that the Jets are going to do the exact same thing here. I think the 49ers are going to be running them, giving them the beans, and then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers gets his mojo back, Breece Hall turns it up downfield, and the Jets stun the 49ers in a little fourth quarter comeback. You mark my words. You mark my words right here, guys. The Jets are beating the 49ers, and it's going to be like there's just no way they should be winning right now. There's just no way the Jets are going to be winning this game, and they freaking do. They have all the tools. They have all the tools, a healthy Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Breece Hall, I mean, just all these guys. And the 49ers, what more to say? What more do you want me to say? You want me to list off their freaking Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Brock Purdy. The team is overpowered. They're the Titans of the NFC, and the Jets are going to swoop in like Iron Man and stop the glory. So, week one NFL predictions. We got Ravens on the road. Eagles over Packers in Brazil doesn't really count. Falcons at home. Bills at home. Titans on the road. Bengals at home. Texans on the road. Oh, Titans on the road, I should have said. Dolphins at home. Panthers, Vikings, and Raiders all on the road. Cowboys on the road. Buccaneers and Lions. So I think we're going with an 8-7, so more road teams are winning this week. But if we did follow it with the Eagles technically being the home team, it'd be split 8-8. That's how I like to do it. You guys can let me know your predictions. Let me know if you have a better prediction strategy, but I'm pumped. All right, it's going to be a great season. I'm honestly not as sucked in as I was last year, just with all I have going on in life. I'm a very busy person, but hey, I'm here for it. We do love ourselves a little NFL. It always brings joy. It always brings joy. And as we all know, a lot of things bring joy to Zachary, one of which, of course, is UFC and my girlfriend and Jesus and my parents and my dogs and my friends. All right, I just will throw all that in there. But I am a little UFC fiend. I watch it every single week, and we had a little off week. All right, we ended August with a bang, absolute banger event. Gosh, what was it? Kyle Brawlow versus Jared Cannonier. Fantastic UFC Vegas Apex event. And here we are back. We're back with another one. We got a bunch of fights for you. I mean, holy cow, 13 fights. It's actually 12 now. There's actually a canceled bout we're going to have to talk about. But here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Round of applause. Round of applause. Thank you very much. And let's get right on into our UFC Vegas 97 card preview with your official predictions. Kicking off this fun little Apex card that we have here, we head to the men's featherweight division as we get a matchup that was actually supposed to happen on August 24th, a matchup between two fighters from this past season, the Ultimate Fighters, Zygomantas Romaska and Nathan Fletcher. We actually mentioned this last time. This fight was pulled the day of, so thankfully we do get to see both these guys compete. Zygomantas was actually supposed to go to the finals, but got hurt, so finally gets a little chance here in the UFC. Zygomantas 9-2, Nathan Fletcher 8-1, 5'11-5'7 gives Zygomantas 4 inches in height. He also has an inch in reach, 71 inches to 70, and both fighters stand the orthodox fighting position. Let's start off with Zygomantas Romaska. Of course, making his UFC debut, 27 years old from Lithuania. Of his 9 wins, 5 KOs, 4 submissions. Currently on a 3-fight win streak professionally, 4 if you include his win on the Ultimate Fighter. So, fun stuff. Plus, he fights out of Lithuania. I mean, you rarely get fighters ever out of Lithuania. His opponent, Nathan Fletcher, 26 years old from England. Of his 8 wins, 1 KO, and 6 submissions. So, Also pretty similar on the finish rate. Two-fight win streak, but he did lose on The Ultimate Fighter. I do find that somewhat notable. I mean, not much momentum coming in. Zygomantis bringing in a lot of momentum. What was injured? Well, we'll have to see what happens, but, you know, from the height, from the momentum of getting a win on The Ultimate Fighter, I do believe Zygomantis gets the win. Especially here, and we're going to have to go by decision, because almost always we got a guy 9-2 all finishes fighting a guy from The Ultimate Fighter, almost never gets the finish. But hey, both of our other fights on this season, The Ultimate Fighter ended to win The Ultimate Fighter in finishes. So hey, Zygomantis, win, draw, whatever you want to call it, decision, I think he walks out as the supreme winner. I also like his name, Zygomantis Romaska. Sounds like a Lithuanian gangster. Jumping up to middleweight, here we go. And Andrei Petrovsky takes on Dylan the Mindless Hulk Budka. I have no idea how Dylan Hulk is still in the UFC. Andrei Petrovsky, 11-4, Dylan Budka, 7-3. Both men are 6 foot, 2 inches in reach to Dylan Budka, 75 inches at 73. Switch stance for both of these guys. Eerily similar matchmakers. Amazing work. Andrei Petrovsky, minus 280 favorite for this matchup. 33 years old, fights out of Pennsylvania. Actually, one of his teammates will be fighting in the main event. That is right. Him and Sean Brady are teammates in Pennsylvania. 4 KOs and 4 submissions make up his 11 victories. Now, of his 4 losses, he's had 3 KO defeats. So that is somewhat of a doozy. Andrei Petrovsky, favorite for a reason, stands at an impressive 6 wins and 2 losses. Those losses are to Michelle Pereira and Jacob Malkoon. Michelle Pereira, that one aged well. Jacob Malkoon, that one did not age well, you know. He last fought in July, picked up a decision win just from grappling, just had to get a win. But I mean, I remember this guy coming in from 2021 to 2022, just dominant performance after dominant performance. The signs were kind of there when he went from round one into kind of chokes to a decision, to a split decision, to getting knocked out in a minute. So Andrei Petrovsky back in action. He's a grappler, and he's fighting a grappler here. So yet again, just excellent matchmaking for this one. The plus 230 underdog, Dylan the Mindless Hulk Budka, 24 years old, so much younger, fights out of Ohio. Of his 7 wins, 1 KO and 2 subs, so decision machine. Of his 3 losses, he has been finished twice, once by KO, once by submission. Won on Dana White's Contender Series in 2023, but ended up taking a short notice fight against Cesar Almeida. He would absolutely destroy him in round number one with grappling before Cesar Almeida was kind of like, wait, all this guy can do is grapple. So when Dylan Budka shot against the fence, he ate elbows to the side of his head until the ref was like, holy cow, stop this madness. So hopefully we'll see a little striking in this one, but this might be a grappling affair. I am an Andrei Petrovsky fan, actually, so we are picking Andrei Petrovsky. He is the favorite. I would favor his grappling abilities to Dylan Budka's by a tiny bit, and I would definitely favor his striking. I've seen him land knockdowns. Dylan Budka, I don't even know if he's ever knocked an opponent down. I genuinely don't know if that's ever been something that has genuinely occurred. No offense. You know, I hate to give offense, but that's just my opinion on it. So, Andrei Petrovsky by, oh gosh, we're going to say decision for now. After that, we get our first women's fight of the evening. Woohoo, we love our ladies, as Jacqueline Amorim takes on Vanessa Lil Monster Demopoulos. Jacqueline Amorim 8-1, Vanessa 11-5. 5'3 to 5'2 gives Jacqueline 1 inch in height, and she also has an insane 9 inches in reach, 68 inches to 59. Orthodox stands for both of these ladies. Let's start with the minus 350. Favorite, which is Jacqueline Amorim, 29 years old. She was actually born in Brazil, but now lives and trains in Florida. Of her 8 wins, 2 KOs and 6 submissions. Just all the momentum in the world with this lady. Debuted April of 2023, lost the decision to Sam Hughes, followed up with a win in August of 2023 by round 3 TKO, and in March of this year, got a 1 minute 38 second armbar performance of the night over Corey McKenna. So very impressive work there, girl. You go, girl. That's very, oh gosh, what's the TikTok term? Demure? Oh gosh, I'm just going to cringe listening back to this, but Jacqueline Amorim coming in, 100% finish rate, dominant, the reach. Everything's going for her, but she takes on the little monster, Vanessa Demopoulos, a plus 275 underdog. 35 years old, born in Ohio. Now lives and trains in Las Vegas. Bears the flag of Greece, though. Don't really know the background there. Of her 11 wins, 1 KO and 5 submissions. But of her 5 losses, never been finished, which is, we always love to see that 100% finish rate, never been finished. Ooh, what will happen? Vanessa, been with the UFC since 2021. Biggest win was probably over Silvana Gomez Suarez in 2022. Got an armbar. Also beat Maria Oliveira in 2022. Last time she lost, May of 2023. Currently on a two-fight winning streak. Most recently won a split decision over Emily Ducote in May of 2024. I'm so sorry, Vanessa. I absolutely love you on social media. You know, always posting stuff. Always getting the fellas going, but Jacqueline Morham. All day. Jacqueline Morham all day. It's just, I mean, the reach, the finish rate, it says all the tellings of a talented fighter. And we're going to say by finish, we're going to say Jacqueline Morham gets the submission win here. For the first time ever in Vanessa's career, she's going to get finished. And it's going to be by Jacqueline Morham. Love it. Keeping us a rolling, we head back to the men's featherweight division and we see Yizham. No joke. His name is Yizha. Nothing else with that. We see Yizha take on Gabriel Mosquitino Santos. Mosquitanino. It's spelled like mosquito and then ends in Tino. Interesting stuff here. Yizha 25-4. Gabriel Santos 10-2. 5'9" to 5'7" gives Gabriel 2 inches in height. Yizha has 1 inch in reach. Orthodox stance for both of these young gentlemen. Gabriel Santos -230. Favorite, the 27-year-old, is from Brazil. Of his 10 wins, 3 KOs and 4 submissions. He was actually supposed to fight in January against Weston Wilson. That fight fell apart. As of right now, Gabriel Santos is 0-2 in the UFC. Both of those losses coming in 2023. Now, might I add, fought Leroy Murphy and Damon Onama, two absolute killers. And in both those fights, he looked excellent up until the point where it was kind of evident he wasn't going to win. Actually, a lot of people argue he might have won the Leroy Murphy fight, but he was knocked out cold in that David Onama fight. So it has been over a year since this man has fought an actual fight. His opponent, Yizha, +190 underdog, 27-year-old as well, from Shanghai, China. Currently on a little 3-fight win streak of his 25 wins, 5 KOs, and 14 submissions. I mean, come on. Never been finished in his career. Last loss was in February of 2023 to Jiyoung Lee, the Korean Tiger. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Yizha? You're a dog. I think Yizha's an absolute dog. Got a fun name, too. Now, all of his wins have been on the road to the UFC, which he was on in 2023, and he rejoined to come on to season 2. So, on that, beat, just because I want to say all their names, Wuzabike Jifefu, okay, submitted him by armbar in May of 2023, won a decision over Sangwon Kim in August 2023, most recently in February, got a 3-minute armbar of Kai Wen. So, Yizha, you seem like an amazing talent. You're 25-4, coming out of Shanghai, China. Now, I'd be interested to see your chin, because I know for a fact Gabriel Santos is coming to fight. But there's just something about Yizha I can't pick against him. He's so fun. We're going with Yizha in this one. Oh my gosh. We haven't picked an underdog yet. We got to go with a little Yizha for you. I mean, come on. What a fun name, Yizha. He doesn't even need a freaking last name. Okay, he's just Yizha. That's how I want to be. I just want to be Ruger. I don't even need a first name. After that, down to our shortest weight class of the night, men's flyweight, Felipe Dos Santos. Lipe Detona is his nickname. Takes on Andre Mascote Lima. Lipe Detona versus Mascote. Interesting nickname battle here. Felipe Dos Santos, 8-1 with 1 no contest. Andre Lima, 9-0. Both men are 5'7". 3-inch reach advantage for Felipe, though. 70 inches to 67. Both men stand in the orthodox fighting position. Here we go, guys. Here we go. This is a fun one right here. Andre Lima, -130. So the odds are very close here. 25 years old, from Brazil. 9-fight winning streak as he is undefeated. Of those 9 wins, you'll be wondering, Zach, how many finishes? 5. 5 knockouts. He has come into the UFC and has had one of the weirdest experiences. So, wins on Dana White's Contender Series in October 2023. Gets a contract, right? 2024 March makes his debut, gets bit by Igor Severino. You can't even make that up. He got bit. Then June 2024 takes on Mitch Raposo and wins a close split decision. And against a guy like Mitch Raposo, I honestly expected a lot more from Andre Lima, if I'm being honest, but got the win nonetheless. Dude seems like an absolute killer, but he's taking on a guy, Felipe Dos Santos, and +110 underdog, 23 years old, fights at Chutebox, Diego Lima, that's right, from Brazil, Chutebox, Diego Lima, the home of the great, the amazing, the former men's lightweight champion, the former killer, actually, he still is a killer to me, Charles Oliveira, that's right, he's coming from an excellent. Excellent gym here. 8-1 record. Only losses to Manel Cape in a fight of the night. That should tell you all you need to know. Of his 8 wins, 2 KOs, and 3 submissions, these two are eerily similar. His last fight, he fought in February of 2024. He won a split decision. In that fight, he was taken down 9 times, but it was actually, you know, he was seen just as the better fighter. Andre Lima may be coming for some takedowns. I do expect a standing battle. I'm going to ride with the man from Charles Oliveira's gym, Felipe Dos Santos. Striking-wise, from what I've seen of both of these guys, Felipe's got the advantage, and if he can defend the takedowns of Andre Lima, whether Andre brings them or not, he should be able to manhandle him and get the victory. Next up, a little featherweight action, and this card's been shifting in terms of bout order, so I don't exactly know when the main card's going to begin, but I pretty much know this fight's going to still be on the prelims here, as Isaac the Midwest Chapa takes on Brendan the Kid Marote. 6-1 record for Isaac, 8-2 record for Brendan. 5'9" to 5'7" does give Brendan 2 inches in height, 1 inch reach for Isaac Nogarian. Orthodox stance for both of these young men. Now, here's where things get utterly ballistic, guys. Okay, Isaac Dalgarian, 7 professional fights. Okay, Brendan Marote, pretty similar. All right, Isaac Dalgarian, 28 years old, from Kansas, 100% finish rate, 4 KOs and 2 submissions, is a -2,500 favorite. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He somehow lost a split decision to Christian Rodriguez in March of this year. So first professional loss, really close split decision. But the fact that he is -2,500 is utterly insane to me. Maybe wondering why. Well, Brendan Marote +1,050 underdog. Oh my goodness, he is 28 years old from New Hampshire. 5 KOs and 1 submission make up his 8 victories. Now of his 2 losses. Was KO'd in his UFC debut. He was supposed to fight in March, actually, but that fight fell apart. He stepped down on short notice against Terrence McKinney in October of 2023 and got knocked out in 20 seconds. So I can kind of see that. So judging by the fact that Brendan Marote was absolutely manhandled by Terrence McKinney, there's no reason Isaac Dalgarian shouldn't take him down, submit him in round number 1. So you know we're riding with a -2,500 favorite. It's just, it's not even funny to pick against him. It'd just be dumb. Easy money with Isaac Dalgarian. Easy money. Bet $2,500, make a $100 profit. Actually, that's pretty risky. I don't know if I'd do that, but you get what I'm saying. Next up, we would have had Ovin St. Preux versus Ryan Spann, but that bout was unfortunately canceled. Ovin St. Preux pulled out, which is just kind of crappy to see. I wanted to see how both these guys would have looked. This was a bounce-back fight for Ryan Spann on a tremendous level. So hopefully those two will be back in action. We can rebook this later on. We can get Ryan Spann a fight coming up, but unfortunately, that fight will not be taking place. A fight that will be taking place, and with this being, you know, the first of the final 6 fights, this could either be the final prelim or the first of a 6-fight main card. But we have a lightweight matchup between another one-name fighter, Rong Zhu, as he takes on Chris Taco Padilla. Just the nicknames, guys, the nicknames. Rong Zhu, 25-5. Chris Padilla, 14-6. Both men are 5'9", 2 inches in reach for Chris Padilla, 74 inches, 72. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Let's kick it off with Rong Zhu. If you haven't guessed, this man is from China. The -250 favorite is 24 years old. And is currently on a little 4-fight winning streak. Yeah, good job, Rong Zhu. 14 KOs and 7 submissions. That's right, 21 of his 25 wins by finish. Rong Zhu's an animal, okay? Rong Zhu is a killer. Of his 5 losses, though, he has been submitted 4 times. So we found his weakness. We have found Rong Zhu's weakness, and it is getting submitted, unfortunately. Rong Zhu came into the UFC in 2021, took on Kazula Vargas, lost the decision, then beat Brendan Jenkins in 2021. They got submitted by Ignacio Mohamedes in 2022. Left the UFC, won the independent team, came on for season 2 of the Road to the UFC. TKO Song Wang Hong in 2 minutes, wins a decision over Sang Woo Kim, and then beat Shin Haraguchi in February of this year by rear naked choke. And now he's landed himself a little UFC fight. So Rong Zhu, path to back to the UFC, been successful so far. His opponent, Chris Padilla, the +205 underdog here. Chris Padilla, 28 years old from California. What's his win streak? I just wrote I don't even know. I don't even know what Chris Padilla's win streak is, but of his 14 wins, 7 KOs, 5 submissions. So 12 of 14 wins, 6 of 7, odds-wise. That's going to be your man. Holy cow. Big finisher. Of his 6 losses, he's been KO'd once, submitted twice. You know, that's about as far as it is. He was actually supposed to fight in May. That fight fell apart. But yeah, he won his debut in April, beat James Lontop, rear naked chokehold in round one, got a bunch of poofy hair, Chris Padilla coming in with some momentum, you know, and as much as I loved what I saw from Rong Zhu, he kind of got lucky with that rear naked choke. We've seen that Chris Padilla can take you down and submit you. Oh, what did we mention before? Rong Zhu, that's the only way that he's lost before. This is just the perfect appetizer. And even though I picked Yizhao before, I love the one-name Chinese-Japanese fighters. We're going to go with Chris Padilla here. I just got that feeling with Chris Padilla. And James Lontop, I thought he was going to be talented. Apparently not so much. Chris Padilla was able to beat him. We'll have to see, but I'm excited for this one. And whether this is the second fight on the main card or the first fight, you can bet your butt this will be on the main card. An absolute banger to kick us off. Actually, I would not be surprised if this is a five-fight main card, but lightweight division, staying with it, this is guaranteed fireworks. Trevor Peak, Yanal Ashmov. Trevor Peak, 9-2 won their contest. Yanal Ashmov, 7-1. Both men are 5'9". 1-inch reach advantage for Trevor Peak, 70 inches to 69. Orthodox stance with that right for Yanal, switch stance for Trevor Peak. Let's start off with the absolute madman. That is Trevor Peak. By the way, odds -110 for both these guys. The odds makers cannot decide. Trevor Peak is insane. 29 years old from Tennessee. I think also might have been in Arkansas, Alabama, Georgia, that whole region. Of his 9 wins, 8 KOs. That's right, KO master. He won on Dan White's Contender Series in 2022, and his debut had a knockout with 1 second left in round number one. After that, had one of the if Josh Emmett versus Yuto Piro wasn't such a banger of a fight, Trevor Peak versus Chep Imrisco would have won fight of the night on that June 2023 card. After that, beat Muhammad Yahya in an entertaining fight, and then April of this year, lost to Charlie Campbell in a fight where it was almost like, I can't believe that he, like, you can tell he lost, but it was just so entertaining. The punches, just throwing it all out to the final buzzer. Trevor Peak is the definition of a fighter until the finish. He's super entertaining, and, you know, as of right now, win-loss, hopefully he can bring a win here. So he takes on the man from Israel, 29 years old, 4 KOs and 2 submissions, make up his 7 wins, the Red Fox, Yanal Ashmov. Yanal won his UFC debut in March of 2023 with a round 1 TKO of Sam Patterson, but fought in July of 2023 and lost the decision to Chris Duncan, but he's back representing Israel. You don't really see a lot of Israeli fighters in the UFC, so that is a rare occurrence. And as much as I did enjoy both of those performances from Yanal Ashmov, I love Trevor Peak. He is just too entertaining not to throw a little money on here and there. Give me Trevor Peak, baby. This could be fight of the night if you ask me. Trevor Peak, so entertaining. So entertaining. He's so fun. I just inject him into my veins. Can we get him a fun nickname, too? How about Trevor the Tornado Peak? That's actually perfect. Or Trevor Twin Peaks? There you go. Trevor Twin Peak. Fun nickname right there. If anyone gets that, let me know. Actually, perfect time for a little laughter, huh? How about that? Thank you, audience. Alrighty, fun matchup here at Bantamweight. This fight came together mere hours ago. I am recording this late on Wednesday, September 4th. It's currently 10 p.m. Central Time as I'm recording this. And Matt Schnell. Matt Schnell was supposed to take on Alejandro Costa. And, you know, Alejandro Costa pulled out. All right, pulled out. So who's stepping in on short notice? Now making this a bantamweight matchup, none other than Cody Durden. Matt Schnell Danger takes on Cody Durden on short notice. Matt Schnell 16-8. Cody Durden 16-6. 5'8" to 5'7" gives Matt 1 inch in height. He also has 3 inches in reach. 70 inches is 67. Orthodox stance for Danger. Southpaw stance for Cody Durden. I just realized Cody doesn't have a nickname. No odds yet for this one. Matt Schnell, 34 years old from Louisiana, with 16 wins. He has got 2 KOs and 9 submissions. Not too bad. Now, of his 8 losses, 5 times he's been KO'd, 2 times he's been submitted. Yeah, he's finished a lot. He's currently sitting at 1-3 in his last 4. All of them have not gone the distance. Actually, he hasn't gone the distance since 2021, but Matt Schnell, been around since 2016. He's fought in Rob Font. He's fought in Marco Beltran, Luis Smoka, Alexander Pantoa, fought a lot of killers. Most recently, May of 2022, submitted by Brandon Royval in a 2-minute fight of the night. That's how entertaining it was. Follows it up, another fight of the night, one of the greatest comebacks you'll ever see, definitely the biggest comeback of the year for 2022 against Sumedarji, one of the craziest fights you'll ever see. December 2022, gets knocked out by Mathias Nicolau, and was knocked out by Steve Erksig in March, and that knockout was so good, Steve Erksig got a title shot ranked number 10 in the world. I just want you to know that. So Matt Schnell feeding families by getting finished. Pretty comical, if you ask me. But Matt Schnell, kudos for even taking this fight. You know, it's tough to fight guys like Cody Dern on short notice, and Matt Schnell's all about getting back in the win column. His opponent, Cody Dern, 33 years old, from Georgia, so similar area of the United States, southern area. 6 KOs and 5 submissions. So both men, 11 finishes combined out of 16 wins. The matchmakers are incredible. I have 6 losses, 1 KO loss, 4 submission losses. So these two are just dead similar. Cody Durden, been in the UFC since 2020. He's fought in Chris Gutierrez, Jimmy Flick, Mohamed Moikaev. Was once on a 4-fight win streak before running into Kirilin Bekov. Most recently, July 2024, was TKO'd by Bruno Silva. So not really coming in with much momentum here. This is really a fight where it's tough to pick. I can almost see this being a draw, where it's both guys are just in such desperate need of a win. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm thinking the striking is going to favor Matt Schnell here. Grappling is going to favor Cody Dern. This is a toss-up. I'm going to ride with the fighter who was originally scheduled for this card, who's not taking a fight on short notice. We are going to go with Matt Danger Schnell in this one. But it's such a toss-up. It's impossible to tell what's going to happen here. I don't know if Matt Schnell is still ranked. I'd actually be curious to see that. Matt Schnell is currently ranked number 11. Cody Dern ranked number 15, so there you go, a little ranked action at men's flyweight. We love to see that. Third to last fight of the evening coming at you next. We're back in the featherweight division. Final featherweight fight of the evening as Kyle the Monster Nelson, my bad, takes on Steve Mean Machine Garcia. Oh, man, if you like striking, watch this one. Steve Garcia, 16-5. Kyle Nelson, 16-5-1. Wow. 6'5'11" gives Steve 1 inch in height. He also has a notable 4 inches in reach, 75 inches to 71. Switch stance going to Kyle Nelson as for his opponent. Holy cow, we just completely lost all the stats I had right here. Thank you, computer, for glitching on me. Southpaw stance for Steve Garcia. So switch stance for Kyle Nelson, southpaw for Steve Mean Machine Garcia. Who should we start with? Let's start with Kyle Nelson here. Plus 145, underdog, 33 years old, from Canada, a little Canadian boy. Little Canadian boy, aren't you, Kyle Nelson? Actually, last time he fought in Canada, I think he lost. Didn't he lose his last fight? But Kyle Nelson, 10 finishes of his 16 wins. Of his 5 losses, he's been finished 3 times. He was actually supposed to fight Calvin Kattar, which probably would have been the co-main event, but factors just withdrew him from that. Kyle Nelson been in the UFC since 2018. Fought Diego Ferreira in his debut. You know, he's fought Billy Quarantillo, Jay Herbert. Currently on a 4-fight unbeaten streak. 3-fight official win streak. Biggest win of his career, finish-wise, coming at you. Bill Algeo TKO'd him in 4 minutes back in March. So, coming in with a little bit of momentum. A little bit of momentum for Kyle Nelson. Now, unfortunately for Kyle, he's taking on a mean machine. He's taking on a killer. And Steve Garcia, minus 175, favorite, 32 years old from New Mexico. He has 16 wins, 13 knockouts. Of his 5 losses, he's been finished twice. Has not lost in, goodness me, 2 years. Last time he lost, knocked out by Mahashat. Since then, TKO Chase Hooper in round 1. Knocked out Shailene Nurdenbeek in round 2. TKO Melquazil Costa in round number 2. And most recently, in July, knocked out Sungwoo Choi in 1:36, earned himself a performance bonus. Yeah. Round 1 knockout. Lock it in for Steve Garcia, one of my favorite boxers in the UFC. I just, when you're getting the knockouts left, right, and center, you know I'm going to pick you. So, exciting stuff there. Very happy for him. That brings us to our co-main event of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, and it is our second women's fight of the whole card, and it is the last women's fight of the whole card. As we head to the women's flyweight division, as the number 6 ranked Jessica Andrade takes on the number 8 ranked Natalia Silva. This is very exciting here. Jessica Batistaca Andrade takes on Natalia Silva. Jessica Andrade, 26-12. Natalia Silva, 17-5-1. Ooh, much experience between these two. 5'4-5'1 gives Natalia 3 inches in height. She also has 3 inches in reach, 65 inches to 62. Southpaw stance for Silva. Orthodox for Jessica Andrasch. Let's start with the legend that is Jessica Andrasch. Plus 250 in underdog, surprisingly. 32 years old from Brazil. Of her 26 wins, 18 finishes. 10 KOs and 8 subs. Of her 12 losses, 9 times she's been finished. 5 KOs, 4 submissions. She's been finished by. But Jessica Andrasch, former women's strawweight champion. Been with the UFC since 2013. This is year 11 for her. Okay, I mean, Liz Caramucci, Chakwell Pennington, Larissa Pacheco, Marina Renault, Jessica Penne, Angela Hill, Joanna Joan Jacek, Tisha Penton, Rose Namajunas, Zhang Weili, Caitlin Cerminero, Amanda Lima, Sora Murphy. I could go on and on and on. She has fought some absolute killers. All right, she's fought some absolute killers. And at one point, you know, in 2023, she got 5 fights and went 2-3. Once got finished from February to August, she got finished 3 times, all within a minute and 30 seconds of round 2. But end November with a crazy round 2 knockout of Mackenzie Dern, and then took Marina Rodriguez to a win on UFC 300 and beat her by split decision. So Jessica Andrasch coming in with so much momentum here, but so is the 27-year-old from Brazil, the minus 270 favorite on an 11-fight winning streak. Of her 17 wins, 5 KOs and 7 submissions. Of her 5 losses, been finished 3 times, but not yet in the UFC, as she is 5-0, Natalia Silva. That's right, a perfect 5-0 in the UFC. Debuted, beat Jasmine Jesser's Divicious. After that, spinning back kick knockout of Teresa Bleda. After that, 3-minute knockout of Victoria Leonardo. Then, beats Andrea Lee. Fought in February of this year. Beat Viviana Rujo. The striking's clean. The takedown defense is clean. Natalia Silva brings it. Yeah, not more to be said here. I'm riding with Natalia Silva. She's got so much momentum in the world. I need a changing of the guard at this weight class. I'm sorry, Jessica Andrasch, but I think Natalia Silva steals this one over you. I think her striking is more complete. I think the only issue that she may face is takedowns, where Jessica Andrasch, who hasn't really been going for takedowns as of late, may try and use that to mix things up. But should be an exciting, cool main event. Which brings us, guys, to the final fight of the night. I'm actually very glad we're finally at this fight. It is late at night. I have been up, goodness me, like 16 hours. Which I guess in hindsight isn't that long, but at the same time, it is kind of long. We had the men's welterweight division, one of my favorite weight classes, as the number 6-ranked Gilbert Burns takes on the number 8-ranked Sean Brady. The winner will probably be ranked number 5, if you ask me. Gilbert Durinho Burns takes on Sean Brady. 22-7 for Burns, 16-1 for Brady. Both men are 5'10". 1-inch reach advantage for Sean Brady, 72-71. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. I mean, this is a close fight. It's a very close fight here. The number 6-ranked former title challenger Gilbert Burns is a plus 145 underdog, surprisingly. 38 years old from Brazil, of course, now lives and trains in Boca Raton, Florida. Of his 22 victories, 6 KOs and 9 submissions. Of his 7 losses, he's been KO'd 3 times. And it takes a good man to KO Gilbert Burns, all right? You know, been with the UFC since 2014. The only men to finish him have been Dan Hooker, Kamaru Usman, and most recently Jack Del Maddalena. If we're looking at recent history since 2020, which is the last 4 years, you know, he has gone 5-4. Okay, and if we go up to February of 2021, he's 3-4. So, Gilbert Burns, you know, it's been kind of tough. Losses as of late to Kamaru Usman, Hamza Chimaev, Bilal Muhammad, and Jack Del Maddalena. You know, he does land on a 2-fight losing streak. His 3 wins are over aged Jorge Masvidal, Neil Magny, Wonderboy Thompson, even Tyrone Woodley, Damian Maia, Gunnar Nelson. Oh my gosh. So Gilbert Burns, this is, you know, as we've seen him been fighting these young, hungry up-and-comers such as Jack Del Maddalena, we've seen him kind of struggle. And, you know, Gilbert Burns has not really relied on the striking at all, dating all the way back to 2022. Last time he did that was with Hamzat Chimaev. So I'll be interested to see if he tries to tune that up here against the guy in Sean Brady, who his game plan is going to be take you down and submit you. Sean Brady, minus 175 favorite, and his first main event, might I add you. 31 years old from Pennsylvania. Like I said, him and Andre Petrovsky are boys. Of his 16 wins, 3 KOs and 5 subs, so kind of a decision machine. Was actually supposed to fight Vicente Luque, Gilbert Burns' good buddy, in March, but Vicente pulled out of that fight. So Sean Brady stands here 6-1 in the UFC, was undefeated at 15-0 before running to Bilal Muhammad, who shockingly standing TKO'd him, which is crazy enough. But I mean, Sean Brady, you know, he has wins over Jake Matthews, Michael Chiesa, most recently submitted Kelvin Gastelum in December in a fight that lasted 11 minutes and 43 seconds. 9 minutes and 6 seconds was control time by Sean Brady on 5 takedowns. So Sean Brady, grappling machine. He does hunt finishes, I might add. You know, I know we look at the Court McGee fight, the Ismael Nadouev fight, the Michael Chiesa fight, but he hunts for finishes on a lot of these. I do believe Sean Brady gets it done, just the younger fighter, the grappling. It's going to come down to, can Gilbert Burns separate himself by the striking? Can he do that? Can he get it done? And, you know, I unfortunately don't think so. And I like Gilbert Burns. He's a good guy, but I think this is a changing the guard type of night. Natalia Silva, Sean Brady, realizing their opportunity, climbing up the rankings, jumping into the top five. That's what we're all about here, is rising to the occasion and taking over. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for today's episode, episode 119 of the Surprise Jab Podcast. Hope you guys all enjoyed yourselves. It was a great time. Make sure to check out episode 118, my interview with Jimmy Aulis, which was absolutely amazing. Make sure to also listen to my interview with Lexi Morley. I mean, we got more guests coming on here and there. The NFL season's kicking off. The UFC is winding up. Wait till you see our UFC Noche predictions video. We have a special guest for a UFC predictions video. It doesn't get much bigger than that. Guys, I will make sure to catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast. Wait for this. Wait for this little outro music. Ding, ding, ding. Wow, we are never doing that again. Have a good one.